You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Matt Fitzpatrick wins the Omega European Masters after a playoff for the second year running on a tricky Sunday in Switzerland.
It was really difficult out there today and this one means a lot. You know, it was sort of tough to get my round going and then towards the end I managed to pull it together and the birdie to make the playoff was key and then to obviously just birdie the first hole in the playoff was amazing.
And we'll hear from Fitzpatrick later in the show. His victory came at the first extra hole against Denmark's Lucas Bjerregaard.
I'd love to get that win, but it's been a great week and you can't argue again with two birdies from Matt on 18, so yeah, congrats to him.
We'll review all of the action from Switzerland, discuss the key golf stories and look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the KLM Open. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined once again by Gordon Brand Jr., who I discussed the Ryder Cup picks with on Wednesday, get the last episode of the Race to Dubai show for his take on Bjorn choosing Poulter, Garcia, Stenson and Casey, but not Gordy, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who maybe should have been on that team after a very good win in Switzerland, a hard-fought win. It looked like it was going to be easy going into the final day, but he had to dig deep for success, didn't he?
Oh, he certainly did have to dig deep for success. It's terribly easy in hindsight, isn't it, as who to pick and who not to. And as we talked about last week, it's a team he's put together that he feels is going to win it, i.e. people that are going to enlighten the changing room in the team room. But, you know, Fitzpatrick was being on his thoughts, Thomas Bjorn, and maybe his thoughts have maybe changed, but he's done it now. The European team is ready. It's already picked. But you would have to say that, I mean, Wallace as well, he could have been a part of the team, but it wasn't a place for rookies anymore.
But Matt Fitzpatrick wouldn't have been a rookie because he played last time. On reflection, in hindsight, do you think the European Tour might look at it again and think we can include an extra tournament and go a little bit closer to the date of the Ryder Cup like the Americans have done?
Yeah, that, I mean, there is that possibility, isn't there? Because obviously when it comes to a Ryder Cup, you want people in form. So, you know, we've got Justin Rose, who's got another day of golf to go, could go to number one. He's going to be in form. But as you say, Fitzpatrick would be a great addition to the team, but it's not going to happen.
Well, he started the day in Switzerland four shots ahead of Bjerregaard, but the Dane carded a brilliant 63 to set the target at 17 under, and Fitzpatrick had to birdie the last to take it to extra holes. The 24-year-old then put his approach to 12 feet on the first trip back up the 18th, and another birdie saw him become the first player since the late great Seve Ballesteros to go back-to-back at Crans Sur Sierre. How difficult is it to defend a title, Gordon?
It is very difficult indeed, because you're going back as defending champion. There's a lot to deal with there. And obviously, the golf course is suiting him. It's very much a short game course. It's not a long course. So we know Fitzpatrick has got a wonderful short game. But to go back and defend is really outstanding. And to make a birdie on 18, you know, under all the pressure, he's done very, very well.
Started terribly, though, didn't he? Bogeyed two of his first six holes, and he was caught by both Lucas Bjerregaard and Mike Lorenzo. Very, it developed into a three-way battle between the trio. When you get off to a bad start like that, what comes into your mind? You've got a big lead, you're an odds-on favourite with the bookmakers, and suddenly you're caught and passed by two players.
It's actually not a bad thing, because it's very difficult to hold a lead and stay in front. And so you're always conscious of, you know, someone shooting a good score, which they're always going to do on a Sunday. And I think once you're being overtaken and your lead's gone, you realise that you're in a chase now. You have to chase back to get to number one. So it's not a bad thing to actually lose the lead. It gets your attention rather than trying to retain the lead and hold on to it.
You mentioned those two players that got off to fast starts. Bjerregaard hold a 35-footer on the first. Smart pitch into the fifth. Lovely approach into the next meant that there was a three-way tie. The 27-year-old then led alone when he drove the green at the par 4 seventh and got down in two. Lorenzo Vera dropping a shot on the fourth but picking it straight back up on the next. And then we saw the best of the Frenchman. A remarkable flop shot from him saw him save par on the next, but Fitzpatrick three putted from the fringe, and after starting the day two ahead, as we mentioned, suddenly he was caught and passed. He was two off the lead. Lorenzo Vera drove the green, and Fitzpatrick got up and down from the sand on the seventh for a pair of birdies, but Bjerregaard made the most of the par five ninth to edge back ahead. At this stage, it is a three-way go. When you've got that momentum, Gordy, as Bjerregaard did, he was playing in front of Fitzpatrick and Lorenzo Vera. Do you feel like you're the man in charge because you haven't made those mistakes? He didn't make one bogey all day, Lucas.
Yeah, it's lovely when it's all flowing, and especially when it's flowing and you reach the lead of the tournament. It's just one of those things that a lot of players aren't capable of keeping going, but it's really important to stay in the moment and just let it continue. No bad thoughts come into your mind. And he will just be looking. It's a golf course that is open to lots and lots of birdies, as you say, driving greens in par fours. So there's lots of opportunity. And also that would have some effect for Fitzpatrick, that he would be very much aware there's lots of birdies out there.
So he knew there were opportunities later on, potentially, yes, in the round. A word on Lorenzo Vera, because he briefly got to two in front. Bjerregaard managed to get on the green in two at the par 5, 14th and 15th, taking advantage on both occasions. And then Lorenzo Vera got to the 14th. Now, this is a hole that you know well, Gordy, because unfortunately for Mike and your good self a few years ago, you came unstuck on it. It's a par 5, it's a drivable par 5, and Mike went through the green, looked like he was going to go in two, had a penalty shot, double bogey, three putted, and suddenly an ugly seven on the card. It looked like a perfect shot from the fairway.
Yeah, the one thing is a very, very tight golf course, i.e. in the surrounds of the greens and everything. They're very near the end of the course. I mean, I played a 2-iron into that hole, pitched on the green, ran through the green and thought it was
okay.
Is
it unfair? It looks borderline unfair to me. You've got the green and then you're literally talking, what, a yard or two and you're out of bounds?
Just the green just goes away from you at the end of downstairs.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of rough there either.
No, but that's just one. The golf course has to have some protection. It's a small golf course, very tight. But as you say, when you hit a golf shot and it pitches in the green or something and then it goes out of bounds, you go, why me?
That was a par 5. It was a double bogey for Lorenzo Vera. And suddenly, Bjerregaard led by two. Fitzpatrick then got up and down from the front on the 15th green, with Lorenzo Vera doing the same from the stand as Bjerregaard set the target with three closing pars. The pressure was very much on Lorenzo Vera and Fitzpatrick. Unfortunately for Mike Lorenzo Vera, he found water at the 18th. It was left to Fitzpatrick to make sure that he birdied the final hole. How much pressure is that, birdieing the final hole to make sure you get in a playoff?
There is an awful lot of pressure. Does it
make it easier because you know what you've got to do?
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather know what you want to do. I mean, we had the horrible instance of Jasper Parnovic not looking at the leaderboard at the Open Championship at, I think it was Birkdale. Made a bogey and didn't get into a playoff. It does get your attention when you come up the last, and you know, because all that work, and you don't get that many opportunities to win European Tour events, is to go, I need a birdie to get in a playoff, and you know, my hope's still there. So it just gets your attention. And a tough drive on 18, sloping left to right, but you know, you made birdie. What more can you ask?
Yes,
and that's what it's all about.
A 6-foot birdie, only just made the hole, incidentally. I mean, the length of it wasn't that much, but he only just dropped in. And then they went back to 18 again off the tee and played it again. And this time, Bjerregaard missed his birdie opportunity, only just slid by. And Matt Fitzpatrick had a 12-footer that he made. I guess at that stage, once Matt gets into that playoff, he's the favourite, isn't he? Because he's the man that's done it before. He's won four times previously. This was his fifth European Tour win. And Lucas Bjerregaard might be thinking, crikey, I'm up against someone who's done it before. Lucas has won previously, but Matt had the experience, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, I don't think you are, once you're getting into a playoff, is actually looking at the other player and think how good he is. I mean, you've got to maintain your focus and your spirit for the game. But it just played into Fitzpatrick's hands, where it's a putter's golf course, and the putter worked and he knocked one in on 18.
Fifth European Tour win in his 106th appearance on the tour. He's won in every season since coming through the Q School. That was back in 2014. And becomes the youngest Englishman to win five European Tour victories or claim five European Tour titles at 24 years and 8 days. Nick Faldo was 25 years and 65 days when he won his fifth European Tour title. I mean, he's still a young man and he's racking up these victories every single season, Gordon.
That's incredible, isn't it? I was 23 when I turned pro. It took me 25 years to win 8 tournaments, and he's racking them up, isn't he? Very quickly indeed. And to have a name like Nick Faldo and pass him, he's an incredible player.
First person to successfully defend his title at the UMAG European Masters since Seve Ballesteros in 1977-78. When we were doing the picks last week, I felt that I probably put you off, Matt, because this stat about defending champions at Crom, but he's done very well to emulate the great Seve. He moves to 13th in the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex. And he could move inside the top 40 in the world, but the rankings update has been delayed by the extra day required to finish the BMW Championship on the PGA Tour. Well, time to hear from the champion now, Matt Fitzpatrick, who had to really battle to secure a second consecutive title at Crans Sercière.
Yeah, it was really difficult out there today, and this one means a lot. You know, it was sort of tough to get my round going, and then towards the end, I managed to pull it together, and the birdie to make the playoff was key, and then to obviously just birdie the first hole in the playoff was amazing.
I was about to say, what's going through your mind on the 18th, because it's not the easiest hole, although you have birdied it well this week.
Yeah, I know it's been a good hole for me this year, but in the playoff this year, in comparison to last year, I was just wanted to play aggressive and wanted to tell myself go out and win it. You know, I did the exact same in regulation, and me and Alistair didn't see why we couldn't do it in tournament in playoff. So yeah, we went with that and paid off.
Lucas played a fantastic second into the playoff hole to the back of the green. You were slightly out of position, but even so, you came up with another wonderful approach and a great putt to finish off.
Absolutely, you know, the tee shot was actually not great, and the approach was good, and to make that putt was huge. You know, obviously with everything it meant, but that's held me back a little bit this year, which is a bit frustrating. But I'd like to think that's what I can do under the pressure and hold those big putts, and it's just nice for it to pay off.
Would you say this has been your toughest win so far?
Comfortably, yeah, comfortably.
And just finally, the last person to win this back-to-back was the great Seve. How does it feel to be in such illustrious company in this such a great tournament?
Pretty amazing, yeah. If you can emulate anything that he does, it's you're probably doing all right. So, yeah, hopefully, you never know, just kick on from this now.
Matt Fitzpatrick speaking with Mark Tompkins after his win in Switzerland. What we've seen over the course of the summer, Gordon, regular tour events, is players getting or leading into the final day and getting beaten, and some big names as well getting beaten. But Matt Fitzpatrick has got something else about him, hasn't he? He's got that experience. He's got Street Fighter quality as well.
Well, you don't win 5 events before you're 25 and not have some grit in you. There is something in some people that they just manage to keep on doing what they're doing really well, whether it's a Thursday or a Sunday. And of course, more importantly, you have to just keep going on a Sunday, and that's a great attribute.
So as we've heard, Fitzpatrick's win came at the first extra hole after a playoff against the in-form Lucas Bjerregaard after the Dane shot an impressive 7-under par 63 in his final round.
Well, I played really well today, and it was nice to... I got the start we talked about yesterday, and you know, 5-under on the front nine and put a little bit of pressure on the guys. Yeah, so it's hard right now. I'd love to get that win, but it's been a great week, and you can't argue with 2 birdies from Matt on 18. So yeah, congrats to him.
I suppose the last person you want chasing you down when you've got a slender lead is a person who's the defending champion who knows this golf course very well.
Yeah, he obviously likes this place, and it's tough. But I've played well here the last couple of years, and it's a really good week, a lot of positives. So it hurts right now, but it'll be, I'm sure after a glass of red wine tonight, it'll feel a lot better.
It's been a brilliant 3 weeks for you. You must feel now that second win is, you know, almost within touching distance.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to get it this week, but it feels like it's close. Game's been good. It's 3 straight top 10s, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
Lucas has been in brilliant form, as he was alluding to there, Gordon. Is another win just around the corner, 9th, 6th and 2nd last week? Is he the next Dane off the conveyor belt that we might see pushing towards a Ryder Cup spot?
Well, there is no question that, I mean, to win a golf tournament, he shot 69 and 63, sorry, in the last day, and come through the pack and chase for his a victory, but it's really tough to win on the European Tour, I can tell you that.
Yeah, one man that's certainly feeling that is Mike Lorenzo Vera, who finished third in Caen after being in with a chance of winning the tournament for much of his final round. But the Frenchman says a couple of holes cost him dearly on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe a bad decision to go there on 14. Had the lie, I was sure about the distance, and then came out like a rocket, so just ended up in the trees behind, and then, I think I pushed it a bit too hard at the end. That three putt on 14 as well just was, you know, trying too hard to keep the lead. Well, that's a good experience again, and then I know that I'm still in contention. It's twice in the year. I think I've never done that before, so that's on its way.
You went so close in Sicily, so close again. This time in Switzerland, he's never won 167 European Tour events. And you could tell in his voice they're desperately disappointed because he knows he's probably playing, this year at least, the best golf of his career.
Well, as he said, he's had a couple of great opportunities this year to win his first tournament on the European Tour. But some people, it just takes a little bit longer to do the learning process. And as he said, maybe pushed a little bit too hard. Thinking of the leaderboard is a bad thing. I've got to still be there, rather than he just doesn't seem to be playing free. You know, I'm playing great, let's just go for it. Just go.
So you're suggesting don't look at leaderboards?
Well, your focus isn't I'm leading this tournament. It should be I'm playing great golf, let's just continue. You know, so I think when you're looking at leaderboard, and of course, obviously it changes dramatically on a Sunday, you can think, well, I must make a birdie here or do this. You've just got to let it go. You've got to be free.
Top 10. In the Omega European Masters of 2018, we're going to do the top 11 because we have four players tied for eighth. They were Charles Schwartzel, Pachara Kongwot Mai, Doug Gim and Darren Fickart. And then tied for sixth, Hideto Tanahara, who started very strongly on day one, and Ashen Wu from China. And then in fifth place on his own, the Englishman Daniel Brooks. The Spaniard Nacho Elvira was fourth. In third, we've just heard from him, Mike Lorenzo Vera. In second, beaten in a playoff, Lucas Bjergaard. And of course, our champion and fifth European Tour title went to Matthew Fitzpatrick. Now, last week's predictions next. It is presenter versus co-presenter. And as I mentioned earlier, I think I put you off, Matt Fitzpatrick, so I apologise for that. Well, I don't really, but you know what I say. Anyway, 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 points for a top 20, and minus 5 for a missed cut. I went for Thomas Detry, who I think started with a 65, but somehow managed to miss the cut, so he's a minus 5. Lucas Bjergaard was my other pick, 10 points for him, so 5 points all told. Gordon, after much deliberation last week, because I saw you studying in the canteen for about 4 hours, you went for Paul Dunn, who missed the cut. Gordy, any thoughts on Paul's performance?
No, I'm very sorry, Paul, because I am the blind.
Yeah, you know, you're the bock. You just jinx players.
I just jinx players. And in fact, in my line of duty and care in golf, yeah, less is more. Yeah. So minus five is brilliant.
You also went for Lee Slattery, who was tied
51st.
I mean, points.
Brilliant. And so minus five. I'm comfortable. Yeah, I'm sorry for the people that I'm going to pick this week.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't put a blight. I hope my fortune changes.
Okay. Co-presenter now on 80, slips from 85. Presenter now 135. So as it stands, the co-presenters will be buying myself and Rob dinner at the end of the season. That's the forfeit.
Great.
That's the jeopardy. In a Bristol restaurant of your choice.
Yes, I've got all the McDonald's in my sat nav. So look forward.
Excellent, tremendous. Table for five at Spud, you like. In the Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game, Ingmar Bergman still tops the overall global standings, while Mathieu Lacourege got the most points last week of anyone in the world. In the Race 2 Dubai Show Mini League, listener Aaron Griffith had a great week with his picks at the Omega European Masters, and he now sits atop our league table. Check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the KLM Open this week on EuropeanTour.com. Let's move to the Race to Dubai standings after the latest event on the European Tour. And top 10 from 10 to 1 look like this. Rafa Cabrera Bello, maybe a little unlucky to miss out on the Ryder Cup team in 10th spot. Tyrrell Hatton in 9th. Russell Knox in 8th. John Rahm in 7th. Torbjörn Olesen in 6th. Alex Noren in 5th. Rory McIlroy in 4th. Tommy Fleetwood, last year's Race to Dubai champ, in 3rd. Patrick Reed in 2nd. And of course, our Open champion, who's had such a fantastic year, Francesco Molinari, tops the charts. on the European Challenge Tour, Tom Lewis won the Bridgestone Challenge by 5 shots to return to the winner's circle after a 7-year absence. Lewis shot a 7-under par round 64 to triumph at Luton Hoo Hotel Golf and Spa ahead of Dimitrios Papadatos. It was his first win since claiming the 2011 Portugal Masters on the European Tour. Not before time. Like to see him win on the European Tour as well, Gordon. He's a very classy performer, isn't he, Tom?
A very classy performer. I mean, well up there. Big friends with Eddie Pepperell, but he's on the Challenge Tour now, isn't he? I mean, remember that 65 at St George's shot playing with Tom Watson. And you just thought, well, here's a guy that can play the game. Great future. And it doesn't take long to drop off the European Tour to get to the Challenge Tour. It's a tough school.
On the Stayshore Tour, Magnus Piatlevis showed great character to win the European Tour Properties Senior Classic with a closing 67 at Lighthouse Golf and Spa Resort. The fight for the title proved to be a two-horse race with Atlevi just getting the better of Stephen Dodd. How's your year on the Seniors Tour been going, Gordon?
It's going very, very well. Anything below 30th has been very good.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
thank you very much. I think you must have been naming me as a winner.
Oh, yeah.
So you've put
a blight
on it. Is
it another case of less is more?
It's a case of more is less. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, Magnus, who was originally called, forgotten his name, but he's changed his name, his second win on the Stage Shore Tour. That's a new tournament for us at Lighthouse in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Went very well, and Stephen Dodd, who always is a bit of a performer, was just beaten by the post. At the post. Stephen Dodd was just beaten at the post.
What, the near post?
Left-hand one.
A couple of key issues to be sorted this evening in America. Justin Rose needs to win the delayed BMW Championship to displace Dustin Johnson at the top of the world rankings. The entire final round was postponed yesterday, with Rose at the top of the leaderboard. The weather today might not allow the final round to be played at all, which would hand Rose the title and the world number one position. Rory McIlroy and American Xander Schauffele, by the way, are tied for second there, which brings me to the Ryder Cup. Jim Furyk was due to make his final US wildcard pick on Monday afternoon, but that has been postponed until after the BMW Championship concludes. Schauffele was thought to be one of the possibilities, but the smart money seems to be on Tony Finau. If Schauffele could win, if the event takes place, he might nudge ahead of Finau. If he doesn't, I tend to think that Finau's going to get in, Gordon.
Well, he's currently lying 15th at the moment, so he's certainly not out of this tournament. But if Schauffele won, it does really put the cat amongst the pigeons, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure that the Ryder Cup captains have a clear and decisive mindset to who they're going to pick, and it can also, a win can upset the apple cart.
They'd both be rookies, but Finau's got more tour experience, but Schauffele looks like a player who's on the right trajectory at the moment.
He certainly is going up, isn't he? But whether it's going to be up enough to change Jim Furyk's mind.
By the way, Tiger Woods on Thursday carded an 8-under par 62, his lowest opening round since 1999. I know he was a captain's pick, but he's pretty much there on merit as well. He's had a fantastic summer. I know he's not won, Gordy, but it seemingly is just around the corner for him.
Oh, I think it's more than fantastic, his revival. And he's just adding a little bit more to the jigsaw and becoming the Tiger we used to know in 2000, 2001.
Time to look ahead at this week's event now, the KLM Open in Holland. The course is called the Dutch. Romain Wattel won this event last year and is one of 8 former champions in the field. It's a new course, Gordon, but it is one that you know well.
Yes, it's a new course built in 2011 by Colin Montgomery. It's a strong links course feel. We played it in October a couple of years ago and it was absolutely brutal. It's long. There's 12 holes with water on it. Very undulating green, so it's going to be a big hitter's course, although it only just plays under 7,000 yards, but greens were very difficult as well. Not many pin positions on the greens, very undulating, tends to be a bit windy, as you can imagine. Holland's relatively flat, isn't it? So it's It's a tough, tough golf course.
Yeah, one or two changes to highlight. The hog's back on hole 13 has been removed and returned to the fairway. Left of the 15th fairway has been reshaped a little, and the 13th fairway has been extended back towards the stream. You mentioned it was playing long. Was that the time of year for you, basically, because you played it, what, in October?
We played October. It was cold.
So it might not be playing as long this week.
No, it shouldn't.
Because it measures 6,983, which for a layman like me will suggest it's fairly short.
I can only say what it was like when I played, but I could imagine it now in early September that it will play. And of course these guys hit it so much further than us seniors. The 18th hole was a drive, three wood and a wedge for us, and they're hitting a drive and a rescue into the middle of the green. So, and we were off a forward tee, so I'm sure that when it comes to the tournament this week that the scoring is going to be good. It's really difficult when there was a lot of runoffs, as I can remember, on the course. The greens were sitting up a lot. You have to be very precise with your second shots.
Yeah, watering play on 12 holes all told, as you mentioned. That's going to be a factor as well. The course lays 3 metres under sea level, Gordon. Now, last week we were talking about playing at altitude.
Yeah.
So if we're 3 metres below sea level, how do you calculate your distance off the tee? That's going to be a huge change, isn't it?
No, it won't make me... As long as you've got your mermaid's outfit on, you'll be okay.
Says here it settles, sinks 2 to 3 centimetres per year for
settles.
This reason. That's what it says. It says settles slash sinks. Fairways, semi-rough and immediate rough, are top-dressed to 2 to 3 centimetres every year, Gordon.
To keep it up to the three levels it's down.
Maybe, yeah. It's 3 metres under sea level.
Unbelievable. You know? Short holes are incredibly strong on this golf course.
Yeah, there's all sorts of sort of variations because of where it is.
National Geographic, is it?
Well, I don't know. It might be. Yeah, we could get a second podcast out of this week.
Over from Attenborough in a minute,
absolutely,
won't we?
Absolutely, yeah. It was the venue for the Netherlands' bid for the 2018 Ryder Cup. Could a Ryder Cup be held there, do you think?
Yes, of course it could. It's... a new venue.
In terms of facilities for spectators and
yeah,
so on.
There's plenty of room around the golf course. I can tell you the clubhouse is probably the best clubhouse I've ever seen. Very relaxing. It really is a beautiful golf club. And log fires, great. Put your waterproofs on the chair and they're dry in 10 minutes.
Super. Who is playing then this week? Because great and good of the European Tour, we've got one or two, I don't want to say golden oldies, but one or two experienced performers that have done it all before. Porrig Harrington is teeing it up again, fresh after his near miss in the Czech Republic. What sort of chance this week for Padraig?
Oh, this golf course will suit him because it's going to be long and demanding. Podrick always likes a demanding golf course, and it will test your short game, and it's right up Podrick Street.
Yeah, you can give us some insight into Chris Wood, because Chris is a brilliant player, hasn't had the best season, and I know that you know him well. Why has Chris not performed as well as we expect him to in 2018?
Well, I think the first thing is that for me, and I used to sort of teach him a little bit in the Gloucester sides, he doesn't play enough for me, and I wonder if that's injury-based, that he does suffer from injuries, either his wrist or his back. And I think with that as well, he doesn't go into tournaments with that great deal of confidence just because he's not playing enough. But, I mean, he's won some wonderful golf tournaments, but I just wish he would play more.
Speaking of winners this year, Matt Wallace is teeing up again. Crikey, if he wins again, Thomas Bjorn's going to be scratching his head, isn't he? We've got Richard McAvoy, who was successful in Germany recently.
European Open, what a great win that
Fantastic
was.
Win up against Bryson DeChambeau. And I know there's a lot talked about what happened
the
on the 18th
effect.
Grain. But even so, it's a very, very good win. Who, of course, Richard were on the Challenge Tour the previous week, didn't he?
Yeah.
Shubhankar Sharma, all his form was earlier this season, but what an asset he's been to the European Tour. Multiple winner, and he's played in the States as well. Be great to see him on the fairways in Holland this week. What about Andy Sullivan? Took a lot of time off and then came back to play last week. Got out of the traps very, very quickly. Was up on the leaderboard and then just unfortunately fell away to finish 30th. But sometimes you might need a tournament under your belt before you can hit the heights to what we expect from Andy.
Oh, Andy's a very determined golfer and someone who knows how to win as well. So don't look far past Andy this week and going close.
Matteo Manassero's playing. Andrew Beef Johnson is teeing up as well, as is Kiradek Appibarna. I'm not sure what's happened to Kiradek really this season. He's playing in some big events, played in America as well. But again, not the type of form that we associate with the Thai golfer. Hopefully he will bounce back this week.
I think the other thing is a lot of these players go and play in America. it's almost like playing two tours in one year, and I think that can have an effect on some players. And Afi Bounarat has certainly seemed to be struggling from the Atlantic travel.
Let's get some picks then. Who are you going for this week?
Oh, I'm going for Patrick Harrington.
You're going for Harrington?
Yeah, a second in the Czech Open. Yeah. Playing very well. Mm-hmm. A total grinder. Don't forget, and it's easy to forget, he's got three majors under his belt. So, you know, he's a young old man.
Okay, Harrington's your main pick. What about your second pick?
I'm going for Ross Fisher.
Okay.
I think a big golf course. Hits it a long way, mm-hmm. and I think that's going to help him this week. So I like Ross to return the form we know he has in the bag.
Okay, I'm going to go for Nacho Elvira, who was fourth in the European Masters, 18th in the Czech Masters. He's going in the right direction at the moment, is the Spaniard. He was outside of the top 50 in the Race to Dubai standings in 2017, so that's my outsider. Remember, two picks each. One pick can be anybody, and one must be outside the top 50, so he's my outside the top 50 man. And my other selection, Gordon, is Eddie Pepperell. If this is a Lynxy-type course, it could be right up Eddie's street. He was in the top five last year. Be great to see Eddie win again in 2018, wouldn't it?
Ed is one of these guys that is really interesting concept of his golf, because he almost doesn't care. He just goes Rolls Royce, you know, he just goes and plays. Sometimes he doesn't have a practice round or much preparation, but he just lets his golf do the talking. It's brilliant.
Is that really almost old-fashioned? Is that how you used to play years ago? Just rock up, few beers, and away you go?
No.
Were you on the practice
range? I was a massive...
Were you a range rat?
I was a range...
Do you know, I could imagine that. You're putting in the hours in the gym as well.
A little bit in the gym, but no, I certainly love the range. But Eddie is just
people
one of
people used to say to me that you used to leave your best play on the range. Is that fair?
That is not true, because I did win eight tournaments, and I was a member of two winning Ryder Cup teams. So don't start.
But just imagine if you got your range game there.
Imagine if I took my tournaments. Game out that apparently I left there. I could have won six times. Who will? No, Eddie. I just think he really does not conform to, you know, the weightlifting that we see doing and eating the bananas and all that, you know. I mean, British Open, didn't he? I remember on Sunday he said, I had a bit of a hangover this morning and you know, finished six under or something in the tournament. So he really plays outside the box and dangerous character when he gets a sniff.
Fingers crossed for Eddie, for me, this week. That wraps it up for now. Next week, we will review the KLM Open and look ahead to the Portugal Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. You on Snapchat yet, Gordy? No? We'll have to get you on it. And you can stay up to date.
I am not on Snapchat. I don't know what it is. Sorry.
Via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr.,
goodbye, everybody.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.